expressed, and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice fills the air. Talking about the state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a range full of bells. It's a way of life. Settles in your soul.
Sets in your soul.
In your soul.
Good morning, Jeffersonians.
In your soul.
I am your surprise guest host today. This is Chris Kellstrom, and I'm here with the wonderful, lovely Janet Chandler.
Good morning, Jefferson.
We'll be filling in for Terry and Wynn today. Terry's out of town, and I'm not sure Wynn took full advantage of it. So, anyhow, they are both away. They will be back. We may be staying over. We'll find out in a little while, but we may be staying over through Sovereign Minds. But for now, we are your hosts for Jefferson State. So, before we get started today, we'll take care of a little bit of house cleaning. So, after this show, on K-High 950 AM out of, Placer County, I believe it is, there is another Jefferson show. So, we have Sovereign Minds after us here, which is a great show, and there's also a K-High AM 950. You can listen to that online podcast. You can pull it down later and listen to it, but, those guys are doing a great job down there, so I highly recommend getting the podcast, listening to it live, and then pulling down Sovereign Minds or vice versa. So anyways, that's K-High 950 AM, and their show starts at 10 o'clock. Tomorrow night at the Patriots meeting, we are going to have Mark Baird will be our speaker there. So I highly recommend everybody be there tomorrow night. It's at 2570 South Bonneville Road. Again, Mark Baird will be speaking, so bring your friends, bring your friends' friends, bring your neighbors, you know, bring everybody you can. So Mark is the one we want to listen to. The guy's got all the answers. He does a great job. So he will be there tomorrow as our special guest. So the meeting's at 6 o'clock, 2570 South Bonneville Road. If you would like to go to the Jefferson meeting beforehand, or if you're new to Jefferson and want some questions answered, come on down at 5:30. I will answer all the questions and talk to the new folks, and our regular Jefferson group will be there at 5:30 to discuss what their future plans will be also. Okay, we also have a fundraiser coming up in Calaveras County. So it's a Thursday night. It's June 14th. It's at 5059 Carroll Lane at the Dodassa Ranch in Burson. So it's going to be a tri-tip dinner. It's $30 per person or $50 per couple. They'll have some great items there. I know for a fact they will have some Jefferson wine and some Jefferson beer mugs and some Jefferson glasses because I sent those down there. They also have a really nice Jefferson buckle. So if you guys are in that area or know somebody that is, again, that's June 14th. Now, the day after that, while you're down there, go on down to the Robert Matsui Courthouse. We have a court date on the June 15th. Prior to that, we have one on June 1st. So big news, guys. Big stuff is happening. We're going to see what the judge is going to do, where our court case is going to sit, whether we get the three-judge panel. You know, all the stuff. Future of Jefferson rests on this court case. So I highly recommend we need to pack that courtroom. And again, there's two dates we have so far, June 1st and June 15th, Robert Matsui Courthouse, 501 I Street in Sacramento. Be there at 10 o'clock in the morning. A lot of you are not going to be able to get inside the courtroom. We'll be out in the hallway. I would love to see the hallway so filled that we're out on the sidewalk and down the street. So again, June 1st, June 15th. Let's see, May 26th, we have a Jefferson Festival in Anderson River Park. We were going to do this earlier, and we had some technical difficulties, so we postponed it till May 26th. So that's the Saturday of Memorial Day weekend. Anderson River Park, there'll be live bands, there'll be laser tag for kids, there'll be carnival games, there'll be food vendors, there'll be alcohol vendors, there'll be all sorts of good stuff. Free entry. You have to pay for the festivities, but as far as coming in and listening to the bands, listening to the speakers, that's all free. Bring your family. Okay, I think that's enough housekeeping. Janet, what do you got? Do you have anything?
Hey, I'm just ready to look at Jefferson in a new way. I am so tired of complaining about California. I don't care what California does. It's as if it's my ex. We've divorced. I have gone in a new direction, and I want to look at Jefferson as we want to see it. And there are so many ideas out there. So that's what I'd like to talk about this morning is where is Jefferson going? What does it look like? And how do we get there?
Yeah, and I think that's a great idea, Janet, because, you know, we know what's wrong with California. We wouldn't be here if we thought everything was peachy. So, yeah, I think that's a great idea. Let's talk about Jefferson. Let's stop talking about California. They're gone. They can't be fixed. The only way we can fix our own spot in life is getting Jefferson through. So, yeah, I would love to talk about Jefferson. You know, I'm thinking maybe what we should do, a lot of times we kind of preach to the choir. We assume everybody knows what we're doing. We assume everybody knows that, you know, what the court case is about and how we're going to get a state. And sometimes there might be some new people out there listening or some people that are fans of Jefferson but don't really know what we're doing. So we're going to go to a break in a few minutes. So I'm thinking, what do you think after the break? Maybe we discuss how we are going to get Jefferson, what this lawsuit is about, how we are going to get our 51st state, and why we're suing and not putting on the ballot, for instance.
That's a good way to go, yes, because that's a question I am getting. And, of course, the question is always, when are you going to get Jefferson for us? Well, you know, as soon as you get your rear in gear and help us, we can use a lot of help out here.
Yeah, we used to hear a lot of, oh, it's never going to happen, it'll never happen. Now we're hearing, when is it going to happen? You guys need to hurry up. So at least the word's getting out. They know what we're doing. But there is a lot of questions about how we're doing it, why we're doing it this way. If you go online, and I go online quite often on the weekends, and you see all sorts of questions and comments, and, you know, people think we should get it on the ballot, and I try to explain to them best I can online that it's been done, it's been tried, it hasn't worked, it won't work again. And so anyways, I think we'll take this opportunity today to go ahead and talk about how we are going to get Jefferson, why we're doing the lawsuit, and, you know, how that is going to get us the 51st state.
And because there's a lot of confusion between Jefferson and the three California states split, let's talk about what that would mean and why it is not a good idea for those of us in the 23 northern counties.
Yeah, I don't want to live in a state with San Francisco, period, end of conversation.
Yeah. and everything that goes along with that that's bad.
So, are we ready to go to break, Ashley? All right. Come on back, folks. The time has come.
For 51.
Did you know that California was never supposed to be just one state? Before the state was formed in 1850, there was discussion of forming three states instead of one. California has an area larger than seven East Coast states combined, and it takes 14 hours to drive from one end of the state to the other. California is simply too large to govern. Rural communities are being outvoted by more densely populated areas. The state of Jefferson is the solution. Please visit SOJ51.net to show your support.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that with proper care and just a little discipline should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomfort. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
Hi, I'm Dr. Kara Tennant with CARE Animal Hospital, and I'm inviting you to join me on Carl and Linda Morning Show. We will be discussing all of Reading's local pet needs and how to keep your pet happy, healthy, and safe. CARE Animal Hospital is a local veterinary clinic located on the corner of Hilltop Drive and Lake Boulevard. Make sure your best friend has the best possible care today.
Join Dr. Kara Tennant on Friday morning, May 18th from 8 to 9 on Free Fire Radio here on AM 1460 KCNR.
Come on, let's work together. We could use some more help working together. All right, folks, we're going to get into how to split estate and why we are doing what we are doing. But before we do that, we are going to get the Nick of Time in. We'll take his phone call. He might have a new idea to split estate. Who knows? Nick, are you there?
Well, I don't know unless we can furlough Saran Saran and send him to Sacramento with an Uzi and a dump truck load of ammunition. I think you're going in the right direction.
I think that's against the law, Nick, but continue.
Hey, you know, Janet said she wanted to talk to about Jefferson and the new Jefferson, and then you guys reverted on back to the lawsuit and why we're splitting the state and this and that. And I like Janet's first idea, and I wanted to say that one of the things I'm going to like about Jefferson is that we're not going to have CalPERS. I suspect that we'll have them in Social Security and a 401k type matching retirement to where they're not the new royalty class. You know, they're just like me and you that are out working for a living and getting a livable wage but not a royalty wage. What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, well, that used to be the thing. You if you wanted to make more money, you stayed in the private sector, and if you wanted more security and a full-time permanent job that you didn't, you know, require layoffs or whatever, then you took a government job. It was less pay, but the benefits were decent, and you had security in your job. Now, if you want more pay and security and no possible way of ever getting fired, no matter what you do, then you take the government job.
And your raises are dependent on your college education. And, you know, a lot of college-educated people really aren't educated. They just are good test takers and have a diploma. That's probably why, you know, government has actually been a failure and why we're going in a different direction. But, you know, that's one point. Another point, are we going to, you know, for Columbus Day, they switched it to Indigenous Peoples Day. We'll probably go back to Columbus Day and have a Jefferson Day. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. Now, remember, also, Nick, you are part of the choir, so you know what's going on. But I do want to take some time here and explain to some of the people that don't know what's going on. I don't know how much time you spend online, but you go online and people really don't know what we're doing. They think we're doing it wrong. They don't know why we're doing the lawsuit. So I do want to take some time and explain to those people why we're doing what we're doing and how we're going to get there.
And, Nick, you are right. We need to have a new Jefferson, but anything that we say here is not chiseled in stone. It's a vision, and none of this has been decided for certain. All we can tell you is how we see it coming. It's not necessarily how it will be, but we are going by the principles of how can we protect your rights to life, liberty, and property? How are we going to close the loopholes? And how are we going to hold our bureaucrats and our elected officials accountable to their oaths of office?
That's absolutely right. I was trying to get across the point of how I hope to see it coming. And I also hope to see they put an end to all these paid holidays for the government workers. How many do you suppose those are a year, and how much do you suppose that costs the taxpayers?
Multi hundreds of millions, more than likely.
And hey, thank you for letting me express my views. You two have a great day.
All right, Nick.
Good job.
Always good to hear from you, bud.
Thanks, Nick.
Mm-hmm, bye.
All right, guys. How about we get down to the nuts and bolts again for our choir members? This may be a little remedial, but for, you know, some of our listeners out there that aren't totally involved and know what's going on, I think we should just take a little bit of time and explain to them what we're doing, how we're going to get estate. So in the Constitution, that dusty old document that some people would love to get rid of, in that Constitution, there is a mechanism in there to enable you to create a new state. And we all know it well. It's Article 4, Section 3. So let me just read you the one little paragraph that enables us to create a new state. It says, new states may be admitted by the Congress into this union, but no new state shall be formed or erected within the jurisdiction of any other state, nor any state be formed by the junction of two or more states or parts of states without the consent of the legislature of the states concerned as well of the Congress. So that little part is where we have the problem, without the consent of the legislatures of the states concerned. So that means we have to get California's permission to form a new state. And I got news for you. California will never, ever, ever, ever willingly let us go. There's nothing in it for them. We don't cost them anything. We have no say in anything. We are nothing to them. And they don't need to get rid of us or let us go. There's nothing in it for them. So there's a lot of talk online of, why don't you get this on the ballot? Why don't you get this on the ballot? So let me give you a little history lesson. In 1992, we had it on the ballot. Stan Statham was an assemblyman up here. We got it on the ballot. We did an advisory. The counties voted about 2-1, about 65-67%, that they wanted to leave California and form the state of Jefferson. He took his advisory vote to Sacramento. He introduced legislation. He pulled every favor he had, and he got it through the assembly. It went to the Senate and was immediately killed. They are not going to let us go. If we put it on the ballot again, they would not let us go. If we put it on the ballot 100 times, they would not let us go. We have to convince 41 assemblymen and 21 senators to let us go, and they will not do that. So, if they won't let us go, we will force them to let us go. And that's why we are filing a lawsuit. Our lawsuit is against the state of California. It's for lack of representation and dilution of vote. So, the dilution of vote part is pretty simple. When we became a state in 1850, September 9th of 1850, in the state of California, there was less than 100,000 people in the state of California in 1850. By 1860, we had tripled in size to 380,000 people. Along that way, we had been adding senators and assemblymen, and in 1862, they said, okay, that's enough senators. We have 40. That's enough assemblymen. We have 80. That's good. Let's stop right there. In 1879, they put that in writing in the second state constitution and formally capped the Senate at 40 and the Assembly at 80. So in 1862, when they stopped adding representation, we had a little over 400,000 people in this state. So that was a state senator for every 10,000 people and an assemblyman for every 5,000 people. So to put that in perspective for you, the city of Reading would have 9 state senators and 18 state assemblymen if we still had those numbers today. In 1879, by the time they officially capped it in the Constitution, we had 800,000 people in this state. So we had a senator for every 20 and an assemblyman for every 10. Still not bad representation, much better than we have. Today, we have 39.5 million people in this state. We have not added one single senator or one single assemblyman since 1862, but we've added 39.5 million people to this state. So there's your dilution of vote. In 1850, when we became a state, you and, I don't know, 2,000 of your best friends could have elected a senator. In 1879, you and 5,000 of your best friends could have elected a state senator. Now it takes you and 500,000 of your best friends to elect a state senator. Your vote is 1/1,000,000th of a state senator, where at one time it was 1/10,000th of a state senator. So there's your dilution of vote. That's pretty simple. Your lack of representation, at one point, California had rural representation in the Senate. In 1926, California passed Proposition 28, which said we are going to split our 40 state senators evenly amongst the 58 counties of California. So every county got their own senator. A couple of the smaller counties had to share a senator because there wasn't enough to go around. But basically, we had representation in the Senate. The Assembly was still in the big city populations like it is today. 1964 changed all that. Reynolds versus Sims took all of our Senate representation, put them right back into the cities. So now we are at the level of representation where we have one assemblyman for 500,000 people. And in this part of the state, that covers, I don't know, half a dozen counties. We have one state senator that covers 11 counties. L.A. has 11 state senators for one county. That's where we are today. So Our lawsuit addresses that. Now, California is going to have a couple options. They can increase representation to the level that we all have some. One of the plaintiff's letters to the court says one representative for every 3,200 people would be fair representation. That number is kind of important because 3,200 people is how many people we have in the smallest county in Jefferson, which is Sierra County with 3,200 people. 3,200 people is also the best representation in the nation, which is New Hampshire, has 3,200 people per assemblyman. So 3,200 people per elected official seems like a pretty good number. If California went for one representative for every 3,200 people, we would go from 80 assemblymen to 12,500. So if you can imagine a high school class of 80 students, you know, last night was prom night for Enterprise High School. So if they had 80 people going to their prom, and the next week they had another one with 12,500 people in that prom, probably be a little bit of a problem. It's something that California cannot do. It's impossible for them to do. You couldn't fit them in the Capitol. Now, somebody mentioned along the way, well, if you had 12,500 representatives, then San Francisco and L.A. would just get that many more. You're absolutely correct. They would. The thing is, the people that control California, which is the lobbyists, the special interest groups, big business, big pharma, you know, you name it, those people can pay off 41 assemblymen to write whatever bill they want. They can pay off 21 senators to pass whatever bill they want into law. They cannot bribe 6,251. It would be impossible for them. So the people that run California themselves would reject that. Looks like we're coming up to a break, so I think we'll come back to this on the other side, but I want to, like I say, I want to explain the situation we're in and how we're going to fix that. So, Janet, we'll be back.
We will, and I will tell you what the vision looks like for Jefferson.
All right. The time has come for 51.
When you need prompt, dependable transportation, you can count on Redding Yellow Cab. At Redding Yellow Cab, they have a deep commitment to serve the public and provide dependable first-rate service. Whether you're heading out for a night on the town, need to get to work, or you're just running errands, relax and let Redding Yellow Cab do the driving for you. Redding Yellow Cab is your number one choice for reliable, friendly transportation and clean, comfortable cabs. Give them a call at 222-1234. That's 222-1234.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
When I turned 18, I couldn't wait to vote. After all, voting is a privilege for all Americans, right? Then I did the math. Did you know that the northern third of California only has 3 out of 80 seats in the Assembly and 3 out of 40 seats in the Senate? Northern California has no representation, and my vote doesn't count. Splitting from California and forming the state of Jefferson is the only remedy. Please visit SOJ51.net for more information. Please donate now to help restore representation.
Tobacco and Brew has been a sponsor here on KCNR 1460 since we started the station 8 years ago. A long-standing Redding tradition, Tobacco and Brew is locally owned, backs our veterans, and does so much more for this community. It's located at 2143 Hilltop Drive. Check out their new vines, new products, new briar pipes, and of course, the famous walk-in humidor. Come in and see the newly remodeled Tobacco and Brew. 2143 Hilltop Drive, open 7 days a week.
Some days are hard, some days are long, some days are weak, some days...
whole bunch of other people's way, it feels like some days. So before we left off there, I know I'm giving you a ton of information. I'm trying to make it go quick. Again, we can increase the representation to the level of from 80 assemblymen to 12,500. Now, I believe it's Mark Baird's letter even takes it a step further, and he thinks representation for every 2,500 people would be a good model of representation. Well, if we were to do that one, it would go to 16,000 assemblymen. So, as you can see, that's going to be pretty much impossible for California to do. Their own lobbyists will not let them do that. They can't do that. It will not work. So that would be one option to our lawsuit, is increase representation to a label, to a level that is unsustainable, and they can't do it. Another option would be to revert back to 1926 level representation in our Senate, Proposition 28. Give us back our representation in the Senate. We would accept that. That means LA County would have to give up 10 of those 11 senators so that we could spread them out evenly up here. Marin County, San Francisco would have to give up a dozen of their senators so that we could spread them out evenly amongst the rural areas. If that were to happen, a lot of our problems would be over, because these assemblymen would still write their crazy, ridiculous, stupid bills that you can't sell the Bible anymore. If a waitress gives you a straw, she goes to jail. Bring your own bag to the store. Don't have a gun in your pickup rack. You know, on and on and on. The assembly could still write all the bills they wanted. Nothing would be passed into law because we'd have representation in the Senate. And our state senators, you know, in Modoc County, Siskiyou County, Shasta County, Tehama County, would say, listen, L.A., we know you have a problem with drive-by shootings. We get that. You want to try to solve that problem. We understand that. But telling a rancher up in Etna that he can't have a .22 rifle in the back window of his pickup truck is not going to stop your drive-by shootings in L.A. So we would have representation in the Senate, which would stop them from passing all of these laws that affect every one of us up here. Now, they won't do that either. I can't imagine LA, I think, would rather let us go than give their representation up to us. So there's the three options for them. Give us representation, give us our Senate representation, which they will not do, increase representation to a level that you cannot do, or let us go. The only thing they're ever concerned about is their water. And that's right, I said their water, because that is what they considered. It's their water, not our water. Once we explain to them the water situation, and that's something that we get accused of all the time, you're trying to take our water. Well, your water and our water, it's not either one of ours waters. It's the federal government controls the water. So the allocations of the water will still go out there. With that, I think hopefully you have an understanding of what our lawsuit is going to do. Now, if I said anything wrong, we have the superintendent on the phone. So Mark Baird is calling in right now. Mark, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Hi, Chris. Hi, Janet. You guys are doing such a great job today. I hate to even call in and spoil the party. Everything you say is spot on. It's funny you say superintendent. I don't know. I look around the trench. I don't feel like the superintendent. I feel like one of the hired hands. But, you know, I just want to say that we have a couple of opportunities coming up, and this is very important for people to know. If you really and truly, in your heart and soul, and with your mind and your body, want Jefferson, we need you. We need you right now. We need you to show up at the Robert Matsui Courthouse on June the 1st. You have to be there a little before 9 a.m. We don't know when the hearing's going to start, but we've got to be there before 9 because it could start right on time. We need to pack that courthouse. Yes, most of us will be standing outside and hopefully down the steps out into the front. Because if we don't show up in numbers, no one takes this seriously. And on June the 15th, so June the 1st is the hearing for our demand for a three-judge court. This judge, we believe, has been unlawfully denying us the three-judge court. She gave it to us once. She changed her mind after the state whined. We've demanded a three-judge court. And really, for this judge not to appoint the three-judge court for her, we believe, is unlawful. So we need your help. We need you to show up. Yeah, it's a work day. Yeah, everybody that goes probably has to take off work. I'm sorry. What's your liberty worth to you? You know, we need to get down there, and we need to make our presence known. And then on the 15th, yes, that's a work day too, and we need to show up. If you want the state of Jefferson, we need to show up. The other opportunity we have coming, and hopefully, by the way this will work is, if we gain a favorable ruling out of the judge on June the 1st, then the motions hearing will be in front of a three-judge court. Now, mind you, even if the judge dismisses in the three-judge court, even if they dismiss, we will go to the United States Supreme Court. June 1st is extremely important. We need that three-judge court. The other thing I'd like to add is we have another opportunity coming up. As you all know, Tim Draper has got another one of his deals on the ballot to form three states from one. We don't think it will pass. First of all, it's not constitutional to split a state by initiative. Congress has to approve, and Congress is not bound by the initiative process in California. Number two, Tim Draper wants to form a state where he can run his part of it from his castle in Silicon Valley and run all the money and do all the crazy things they want to do out on the elitist coast, and he wants to throw the rest of rural California under the bus. And number three, we will no more submit to subjugation by Sacramento and San Francisco counties than we would to Sacramento, San Francisco, and L.A. County. However, now because of us, state split is mainstream. It's no longer a fringe deal. Everybody knows California is broken. His deal might pass, and if it does, we are going to need to show up in Sacramento and let them know in no uncertain terms that we will not submit to tyranny by San Francisco and Sacramento. And if we have a state called Jefferson, it will be of the boundaries formed by the people who are in the state of Jefferson and not by some rich idiot in Silicon Valley.
Yeah, I don't want to live in any state with San Francisco in it, plain and simple. And again, it solves no problems. It creates two more. I don't think it's ever going to go anywhere because, like you said, Congress has to approve it. And Mitch McConnell would be voting himself out of the majority if he were to approve this. So, I mean, it makes no sense at all. Now, I've seen our Congress do some pretty stupid things, so I wouldn't put anything past them. But I just can't see themselves voting themselves out of the majority to get this thing through. It makes no sense at all. So,
no, it doesn't. But, you know, Chris, out of chaos comes potential change.
True.
So what we would have is an opportunity, and it'd be a very narrow window of opportunity. And if we could get 20 or 30,000 people from the state of Jefferson, and I mean it, I mean 20 or 30,000 well-organized people from the state of Jefferson to surround that capital and tell them in no uncertain terms that we will not submit and that we want those boundaries redrawn to the state of Jefferson as we proposed it, we have an opportunity there. We do. And in addition to that, if we win the court case and we force them to have 10, 12, 15,000 legislators, we have another window of opportunity. But look, public participation is mandatory. You cannot sit in your house and send $5 every couple of months or send nothing and hope this is going to happen. If you really want this to happen, we need you to start showing up.
Yeah, both these dates are on a Friday. The June 1st is a Friday, June 15th is a Friday. So, you know, guys, you know, it's not a Wednesday. You don't have to take a whole week off from work. You don't have to work the day before or the day after. I mean, you can take a Friday off, make a 3-day weekend. We've all done it before. And, you know, 50 years from now, we're not going to look back and go, boy, I missed that $300 or $400 or $200 that I would have earned that day if I had been there. You know, you're going to look back and go, I did something. I did something for my children and grandchildren. I tried to secure liberty for my posterity that day. I took that day off from work. And it's a memorial day, you know, in my mind, in my memory. It's very memorable.
And at least it will be in June and we won't have a blustery, cold, windy storm blowing through.
Yeah, I can't tell you how many of those we've been to with hundreds and hundreds of people standing there in the rain. I mean, you know, Janet, you're absolutely right. Let's get this done. And we have a chance. The door is open. The window of opportunity is here. History favors our movement now. We've fought for years and years to get this to where people understand what it is we're trying to do and why we need to do it. So let's finish this job and get the state of Jefferson. And the opportunity lies in close proximity. It's right in front of us, and it is wholly dependent upon how much the listeners to this show, their friends, neighbors, and family, and all of the people they can infect with a great 15 minutes over a cup of coffee or a lunch or talking to your friends and neighbors and your family. That's it. It's all dependent. If you show up, we can win. If you don't show up, we won't win.
The good news is that I have heard a lot of people say they are so fed up with California they can't stand it anymore. The bad news is that then they say, so I'm going to vote for that three-state split and maybe there will be a change. Well, we have some education that we need to do because that three-state split is not good news for them. It isn't the change that they want.
No, it isn't. But even if, and we have to look at this realistically, you know, we say no to this, but we're only 3% of the population of California at most with our most ambitious boundary. So we have no impact on events. No one cares what we vote for. It doesn't matter. Our votes don't count. We all know that. But if this thing somehow does pass, we will have another opportunity for change, but we will have to show up with 20, 30, 40, 50,000 people in order to make that work. So be prepared, because that might be our next avenue.
And under the state of Jefferson, one of your best duties is to be responsible, to actually take responsibility for some of the things that need to be done. We can't just sit back and let somebody else do it. We can't let somebody else get Jefferson for us. We have to be involved.
You know, I love what you did at the One Candidates Night, and that's exactly what we're talking about here. You asked a candidate, and I'm not going to name him or what office he was running for. You swore an oath to the California Constitution to support and defend it and to uphold our liberty. Have you ever read it? And he said no. He was honest, and he said no. And then I think you asked him, how are you going to protect my liberty if you don't even know what's in the document?
And I thought
that question said it all. And I think those questions need to be asked of every single elected official by larger and larger and larger groups of people that we're tired of it. We're tired of them doing whatever they want instead of what government demands that they do and nothing more. And we're not going to take it anymore. Show up, folks. It's the only way. Show up.
Yep.
Okay, Mark.
Thanks, guys.
All right, thanks, Mark. We appreciate
your efforts and your support of this cause that you started. It's all your fault.
Well, God bless you both for carrying that torch. You're doing a great job. And I thank you. And we couldn't do this. None of us could do this without all the rest of us. So let's show up, folks.
So on the calendars, June 1st and June 15th, you got to be there.
Take an extra Friday off from work. You deserve it. Thanks, Mark. Have a great day. All right.
It looks like we have another caller on the line, so let's go ahead and go to Larry. Larry, are you there?
Yes, I am. Mark mentioned the three-state initiative to create three Democratic states. Now, if the Republicans don't want to have four more Democrat senators to deal with, I think Republicans, the state of Jefferson, should join up to fight this thing, because he said, there's supposed to be no process to split a state the way they want to do, but there's no rule of law in California, as we've noticed with Brown's activities. So if Mark's still on the phone there, I wasn't able to listen to the radio, but do you think that it's a good idea to join up with the Republicans to try to create the state of Jefferson and avoid three Democratic states?
Yeah, and we actually took a poll through our 23 counties in Jefferson to see where, you know, everybody wanted to stand on this, and it was unanimous. Every single 23 counties said, no way, we don't want to do it. This is not a solution for us. We are absolutely against it. So our official position on the three-state split is no, we are against it. Vote no on it. Again, even if it passes, it can't get through Congress. That pesky Constitution gets in the way every time. So our official stance is no on the three-state split. Mark had a little, you know, caveat to that, saying that if it were to pass, we would immediately go down and flood the Capitol and say there is no way we want to live in a state with San Francisco or Sacramento. You know, we demand that you give us Jefferson. But I don't think it'll ever get that far, because, again, it has to go through the state legislature. It has to go through Congress. You know, it's plain and simple. The Constitution tells you what it has to do. Tim Draper is a billionaire surrounded himself by high-powered lawyers that want to stay around him and keep getting their money. So they tell him, yeah, this is going to work. Yeah, we can override anything we want with an initiative by the people's vote. Well, sorry, you can't. That's not how it works. So, but, yeah, we are definitely against it.
You're right. It's going to create three Californias. It's not going to create Jefferson and two Californias. It's going to create three Californias, you know, and then it's going to be six Democratic senators rather than just two. So Congress would be completely foolish to vote for it. But then again, Congress has done some pretty foolish things. So
don't just sit around and complain about it. Get out there and let everybody know that it is a bad deal.
Well, do you think it would be worth our efforts to try to get the Republicans to give us some support here at the state of Jefferson? We could certainly use the financial support, and that with that, they would probably gain two Republican senators.
Yeah, and, you know, we try to stay nonpartisan, as nonpartisan as we can, and you are correct. We are a definitely Republican-leaning area. And it probably would mean two more Republican senators. Why they wouldn't want to jump on board, I don't know, other than the fact that our elected representatives in the Republican Party are pretty happy with the way their nest is feathered. And they don't really want to upset the apple cart. So, you know, we have people, Brian Daly and Doug LaMalfa, and then they will say that they support it and they think it's a good idea and they're all for us and all that stuff. But when push comes to shove, they're pretty happy with the situation that they're in, and they're not sure what Jefferson would do to their position, so they keep us at arm's length. And that's okay, because we're not funded by the Republican Party. We don't want to be funded by the Republican Party because we don't want strings attached.
And I have been to the Republican headquarters in Sacramento, and I talked to them about Jefferson and their support. And their idea is that they are going to continue to work across the aisle to do the best that they can for the people of Northern California, which means absolutely zip.
Well, they're pretty much controlled by the deep state, which is a problem. So, anyway, thanks for the input.
All right, Larry, thank you.
Thank you, Larry.
Yep, bye.
Okay, shall we go to one last break, and then I think we'll get into what Jefferson will be like and what we envision it being and what we want to see in Jefferson. The time has come.
For 51.
Did you know that Article 4, Section 3 of the U.S. Constitution lays out the framework for the state of Jefferson's plan to split California? A state can be formed from the land within another state if the state legislature and Congress approve it with a simple majority vote. 51% is all it takes. Your vote doesn't count in Northern California. California is broken, and the time has come for 51. Please visit SOJ51.net and donate now to show your support.
I'm here with Mike of Estate Grant and Things. Hey, Mike, so I gotta ask, what's with the and things?
And things is anything that we can make with granite and metal.
So you're saying it's gonna last?
It's forever furniture.
Wow, did you come up with that one?
Absolutely. The and things are dining room tables, wine bistros, fire pit patio tables, and our ever popular granite line roasters. Really, anything you can imagine inside or out.
You know, that store-bought stuff has to be replaced every few years. You know, it gets hot up here.
That's why we call it Forever Furniture. You can will it to your children.
Mike, with Estate Granite and Things, our builder of choice, thinking completely out of the box.
The first time I walked into my new kitchen, I was amazed. But after, I started to notice all the little things that make my kitchen unique. From the tile backsplash to the seams in the granite, everything was truly a work of art.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite and Things. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard. Estate Granite and Things, completely out of the box. Or visit us at EstateGranite.com.
May is First Responder Month, and KCNR 1460 joins with our community in a salute to law enforcement, fire, and medical personnel.
I want to thank our first responders in Shasta and Tehama County. The lives you save and the property you protect help us enjoy our wonderful Northern California outdoors. This is Jeff Avery, State Farm Insurance Agent, and I want to thank you again for all you do.
To those who run toward danger when the alarm sounds, a heartfelt thank you from your community and Free Fire Media.
back. So, before we get into what we envision Jefferson looking like and what we want to do in Jefferson and what we want it to look like and how we want it, we got Round Mountain Bob on the phone. So, Bob, are you there?
Good morning, St. Janet. You know, between the two of you and Mr. Mark, you're really doing a great job. But, you know, it's funny here in California. All they want to do is tell us we're not worth anything. All we are is a liability, all the North State, to California. So why are they trying to drive us all out of the North State? They want our water, which they have, and we can't do nothing about that. But they want our wood, but they won't let us do it properly. They'd rather burn it up and get 3 to 5% on their money instead of 100%. We have things that are energy efficient up here. All California says we're a liability. But why is it they want to buy them, but they don't want the people?
Bob, that's an easy answer. Look at UN Agenda 21, 2030. They don't want us in those rural areas. They want us
to
move out.
Thank you, Janet.
Yep. They want us to be in stack and pack housing in the urban areas so they can control us. They want to turn.
And you're already building that stuff in places like San Francisco. They have got 27-story apartment buildings that are standing empty. Hoping people will and leave this up here because they want us.
What they
they want our tax money.
Yeah, what they really want is control. And they,
that's right.
When they're coming up with laws that say there will be no gasoline engines by 2040, when they are raising the gasoline tax, they want us out of those areas. They can't control us when we are free, independent, and have our liberty. So they want to control us. They want to take away our ability to travel freely. I don't know about you, but if I had an electric car, I couldn't make it from my home to Redding and back without recharging. So it is it's about control. It's not about money.
Get up. If we don't get 20, 30, 50,000 people June 1st, June 5th, or any other time we need them, from the group, 3 counties, and possibly 25 are on their way. You know, if we don't get out and say something in majority, we will never get this.
Well,
they're going to laugh us right out of the state.
Pack up the babies and grab the old ladies and put them in the car and get them there. We need every body we can get.
So, folks, please get all of us. Please do the job. We need this for yourself. Thank you.
All right, Bob.
I'll get you later.
Sounds good.
Thanks, Bob.
Okay, Janet. So once we do go down there and pack the courthouse and we get our 3-judge panel and we force California to let us go, what are we going to look like?
We are going to look great, but it's going to take your efforts and your responsibility in Jefferson. We don't know what liberty looks like. It has been so long since any of us has actually lived under liberty that we have forgotten. We don't understand what it is. So one of the first things that you're going to have to do is open up the cage that says California, step outside, and open your mind to new possibilities.
Yeah, you're exactly right, and it's when I talk to my new people, I often tell them the story. I think I've told it on air here about the guy that moved from here back to Montana and bought a piece of property and had a nice house on it. He wanted to build a shop, and so he's from here. So he called up the county and said, "Hey, I want to build a shop. I live at this address." And they said, "Okay." He says, "Well, what do I need to do?" They said, "I don't know. Build a shop. Why are you calling us?" He says,
yeah.
"Well, do I need a permit?" And they said, "Why? It's your property. Do whatever you want with it. I don't know why you called us. Why, call the people that are going to build your shop." You know, and when I tell people that story, it's like it's foreign to them. They can't understand it. It's like we have lived here so long, we don't know what that freedom is like. We don't know what it is like to have your own property and do what you want with it. We have to get permission to cut a tree limb or to get a load of gravel off the, you know, bottom of our property or whatever. You can't collect rainwater for crying out loud. So
it's also important to understand the separation between a state and the federal government. And most people just assume that the federal government is superior, that they are the sovereign, and they're not. We are, as Jefferson, a 51st nation under God. Each state is an individual country. And we got together, we formed a contract, and we gave the federal government certain obligations to the state, certain duties that they had. And those duties are limited, and they are found in Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution. And if the duty is not listed there, then the federal government does not have it. When we talk about the 10th Amendment and all the states have certain things they can do, the federal government is limited to Article 1, Section 8. So if it isn't there, then the states under our Amendment 10 have that obligation.
Yeah, so the Bureau of Land Management does not own any land in California. The National Forest Service does not own any land in California. The National Park Service does not own any land in California. California owns the land. They manage the land. If they are not managing the land correctly, if you have a rental house, that's not the manager's house, that's your house. And if the manager isn't doing a good job managing that rental house, what do you do? Do you just say, oh, well, that's just what I have to do, and that's the way it's been for a long time? No, you get rid of the manager, you find a new manager, or you go and manage it yourself. So a lot of people don't understand that. They say, oh, that's Forest Service property. No, that's California state property that the Forest Service is managing.
And the state of Jefferson at any time can say, well, thank you very much for your management, but we're turning it over to a state agency.
Exactly.
If you don't own it, you don't have the right to control it.
If our citizens in Shasta County are not allowed to ride their four-wheeler down a dirt road in Shasta National Forest, well then, you know, if there's enough of them that are upset about that, they can go to the state of Jefferson and say, hey, listen, I used to ride my four-wheeler down this dirt road and never heard a darn thing. And there's a whole bunch of us that want to do that. And the federal government's telling me I can't do it. And the state of Jefferson can go in there and say, listen, these are our citizens. They own the land along with us. You don't. And if we want to give them right to ride their four-wheeler down there, you don't have any saying it. And that has been done in some other counties and some other states. So it can be done here. It can't be done in California, but it can be done in Jefferson.
And luckily we will be Jefferson and not California. The first most important thing in Jefferson is a declaration of rights. Our Constitution would not have been passed in the federal government without our Bill of Rights. And they are so vital to a free, liberated people that in Jefferson, we are putting that Declaration of Rights first. We will be a constitutional republic under the rule of law. If you think about the name republic, what does it mean? Where did it come from? Well, it comes from the Latin for res publica, which means this thing of the people. And that thing of the people is rule by law, not rule by monarch or rule by an oligarchy. It is the rule by law. And right now in our country, that is up for grabs. We see people who are doing things on their own. They're not listening to the law. They don't care about the law. In Jefferson, we are going to make sure that they do care and they do function under the rule of law.
Now, Janet is working on our Jefferson State Constitution, so it looks like we're going to be here for the next 2 hours in Sovereign Minds. I think we'll talk some more then about what Jefferson is going to look like, some of the things we envision in our Constitution. It's a rough draft now. It has to be voted on by everybody and have input by everybody. I will say one thing. California has 570 state agencies. Jefferson thinks they can get away with about 30 or 40 of those. Obviously, we need law enforcement, fire suppression, et cetera. We don't need a whole bunch of stuff that California has. Now, one thing we will have that California does not is we will have the Office of Constitutionality, and every law that's passed will have to go through that first. So we'll see back on the other side. We're going to go to a break now, and the time has come for 51.
You serve us, you serve LA. The time has come for 51.
The news is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Redding by Tobacco and Brew. Come see their newly remodeled store at